This is an encore presentation of Faith and Sport on the Carolina Catholic Radio Network. Tune in to hear a brand new edition of Faith and Sport Monday afternoons from 5 to 6 on Carolina Catholic Radio Charlotte, 1270 AM. Also streaming at CarolinaCatholicRadio.org and on the Carolina Catholic Radio app. Well, a happy new year to you. It's time to start off the new year with a brand new edition of Faith and Sport on the Carolina Catholic Radio Network, 1270 AM Charlotte. We're also streaming at CarolinaCatholicRadio.org and on the Carolina Catholic Radio app. We're also broadcasting across Radio Maria, so happy new year to all you Radio Maria listeners, and thank you for tuning in to Faith and Sport on this 2021 edition of Faith and Sport for a brand new year. I'm Chris, the producer of the show, and now here he is, the host of Faith and Sport, the one, the only, Dr. John Acquaviva.
The crowd didn't cheer as loud as they normally do. Chris, you notice that? What's going on with the crowd there? Maybe they're a little hangover from the New Year's.
Yeah, folks, I think so.
Welcome to the show, however, wherever you are listening. This is Faith and Sport. I'm Dr. John Acquaviva. What I do during the week is I'm an exercise scientist, but I teach at Wingate University. I teach exercise physiology. I teach sports nutrition, all that stuff. But once a week, I come down here to the studio. Me and Chris turn on some microphones, all these lights. You know, they're all sparkling everywhere, and we do a radio show. So here it is, Faith and Sport, where we merge our Catholic faith with sport. So it's all about ethics, morality, and all that other stuff that's related to our faith. So there you go. Chris, you had a good New Year, brother?
Yes, had a good New Year. Had some excitement, some disappointment. But all in all, a great Christmas and a great New Year.
And what was the highlight? What was
the highlight was the Washington football team winning, and now they're going to get a spot in the playoffs. It's just, I'm interested to see how far they're going to go in the playoffs, because they're going to have a tough game this first game with Tampa Bay Buccaneers. But
no doubt, brother.
I was really happy to see him move on into the playoffs.
You know, you're the producer for a lot of our shows here at Carolina Catholic Radio, but it's neat that of all the things going on in your life, that the highlight was a sporting event. So I really appreciate that. We'll get back to that, brother. In fact, Carlos is going to join us in a few minutes. I think one of the things we're going to talk about is your Washington football team. I almost said the Washington you-know-whats, but
yeah.
I think we get fined every time. Like the, what is it called, the FCC? Did you ever hear of this?
Yeah.
I think they fine us every time you say the Redskins. The Washington football team name.
Or the Washington, formerly known as the Redskins football team.
I'm going to go ahead and start calling them the Redhawks. I think that's what they're going to do, because it's just such a natural, right? Redskins, Redhawks. I think that's what they're going to do. It'll be interesting to get Carlos's take on that. Here's what we're going to do today, folks. We're going to discuss all things sports, including our hit and miss with Carlos Herrera. He's going to join us in just about 60 seconds. We're going to do weekend headlines. And for the second time in about 5 or 6 weeks, our guest is Jeff Ballister. He's a longtime youth basketball coach and the author of the book, God Doesn't Play a Zone Defense. It's a great book, folks. Get it. We talked about it being a stocking stuffer.
That's right.
But now that Christmas is over, you just give it to somebody and you can put in a stocking if you want, right? This is America. You can do it either way.
And if you woke up Christmas morning to find that book in your stocking, let us know. Send us an email or a tweet and let us know.
That's right. That'd be fantastic. We're going to do the quick Q&A with Dr. A. And then, Chris, do you notice the outline here? We're going to do the craziest sports-related COVID story.
Yeah.
So we have all kinds of stuff to look forward to. Brother, I'm glad that we're back. We've been off the air for a couple weeks, but I'm ready to go back at it. 2021. I think, like everybody else, we're just happy that 2020's over.
Yeah.
And we're all assuming it's just going to be a better year, aren't we?
Yeah. I think the weirdest thing that I saw was over New Year's when I turned on New Year's Rockin' Eve and saw everybody in Times Square with masks on, partying with masks on.
And, you know, I actually watched a couple of minutes of that, surprisingly. We're all just sitting around with family members and everything. We all stayed up to like 12:03, and then we all hit it after that. But when I was watching that, from what I understand, all the people that were downtown in Times Square, they were all city workers.
Yeah.
Did you hear that too?
Yeah.
And I'm like, I thought that was so funny. I go, well, why aren't they working then? But I'm not quite sure what that meant, that they're workers. They could have been working. They worked that night. They're going to continue work. I think all they did was scan it just to make it look like people were there. But I saw an actual picture of Times Square. There was nobody down there. It's kind of eerie.
No.
It was really weird.
Anyway, I wasn't sure if it was because of the COVID or if it was because of Cindy Lauper's off-key singing.
That's pretty good, brother. Pretty good.
What did she sing, by the way? Girls Just Want to Have Fun? Did she sing that song?
I don't even remember now.
Did she
remember.
Sing that song? Do I have that right? Like, Girls Just Want to Have Fun.
Yeah, that's one of her songs. I'm not sure if that was the one or which one it was, but all I heard was that she was really off key.
Oh,
the whole
there you
time.
Go. But you know what's so surprising about that is normally when they do stuff like that, it's lip syncing, right?
Yeah.
It's so awful to watch that. I'm like, who are you, Mariah Carey? Of course, you know, they're all in that same, Cyndi Lauper, they're all in that same, I know when they lip sync, I just put my head, that's one of the things I really appreciate about Saturday Night Live. I'm not a real huge fan of it anymore like it used to be, but when bands come on that show, it's live music.
Yeah.
It's like actually live, and you get to see these guys perform. In fact, the person that got in trouble for not doing it was, who's that blonde hair girl that got in trouble for lip syncing because some of the, it was piped in. Oh.
Was it Britney Spears?
Yes, exactly. Yeah, she got in trouble for that. In fact, the producer and all those people at Saturday Night Live made big. They're like, we're never doing this again because that's the whole thing is we are actually live. So,
right.
Anyway, brother, good to see you. Merry
good
Christmas.
You.
Happy New Year. Let's get started with the show.
Good to be back in the studio.
I know. I love this. I love this. I have all kinds of energy. Packed up energy for this show here on Faith and Sport. Folks, you're listening to Faith and Sport. I'm Dr. John Acquaviva. Let's get to our guest. He joins us just about each and every week. He is Carlos Herrera. He is a certified
Lolita.
I like that you piped that in there. And he's a certified youth soccer coach. He's a former youth minister in the D.C. area. Check him out at something like renovations3.com. I'll have to have him mention that little plug for his business. But Carlos Herrera, welcome back to the show, buddy, and Happy New Year.
Dr. Acquaviva, glad to be back.
Carlos, just so we don't leave that hanging in the air, what is the, if somebody wants to do house renovations in the D.C. area, what would the website that they would reach you at or through you at?
It's called h3renovations.com.
There you go.
Or h3development.com. We do both. We do renovations development, but glad to get a little ching-ching.
Yeah, there you go.
You know. where's the money? Where's the cash register? Sam?
I know. Yeah. Chris will bring that in here shortly.
Yeah.
Brother, let's get right to it. I really like your miss or your hit of the week, and then I have a miss, but as always, you go first. So shoot it at us. It's a football related one, right?
Yes, John. And it was great that actually we talked about it before the show because I was starting with a miss, but then I think you helped me to see that we should start 2021 with a hit.
Yeah, let's do that.
Going with the hit, and I'm going with the team formerly known as the Washington Redskins, that is now the Washington football team.
Yeah.
So, by the way, that's how I describe the team to my friends and peers, is the team formerly known as the Washington Redskins. Redskins, because I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
No, there's not.
To avoid any confusion. But I will say, if you aren't a NFL fan, obviously I'm sort of biased here being a native of the Washington area and a Redskins fan since I was born.
From birth, yeah.
Essentially. And it's amazing what character can do for a team. And my hit is the fact that the Washington football team made it to the playoffs for the first time in, like, I don't know, 18 years, 15 years, 13 years, something like that. Actually won the division because they've actually been in the playoffs, I think, as a wild card. But
That's
won the division first time in about 15 or 13 years. But really, it's has probably a lot to do with two particular characters on the team. First and foremost is the new coach, which is Ron Rivera, which your listeners from the Charlotte area would obviously be
Absolutely.
Very familiar with.
Yeah.
And that gentleman – and that coach is a man, and everybody talks about it, he's a man of character.
Yeah.
And he is about discipline, but it's mostly character. And you would think that discipline's fine, but character is one of these things. It's I think, at a higher order than discipline because it's kind of the why behind some of the discipline. And it is all about being a person of integrity, putting together a team of integrity. I mean, and I actually want to research him more to understand his philosophies. He talks about it's not how you start, it's how you finish. It's one of the mantras he uses.
Mm-hmm.
He talks about to this particular team, he obviously did it in Charlotte. He says you got to learn how to win. I think a lot of parents and people don't understand necessarily what that means, but there's a certain way of believing, practicing, executing, that you have to learn how to win, how to handle adversity, how to handle setback. All those are things you learn in sports.
That's right.
And in life, but I think they really come very, they're lessons that you'll learn while you play sports, particularly team sports. And one of the acronyms he had was, they refer to it on the team and in Charlotte as APE, which is attitude, preparation, and effort. And it's, he's got a military background, so a lot of things have acronyms, but this is very short and simple. Like a lot of things that are good, it's very short and simple: attitude, preparation, and effort. And if you don't fit that motto, you're out. It doesn't matter if you are a player that's been around for a long time, a veteran, if you don't sort of buy into the hard work ethic and the attitude preparation, he just says, well, it's fun, it'd be better if you play elsewhere. And he got rid of Dwayne Haskins, which was a first round draft pick in 2019.
Quarterback.
And quarterback for the team. And mostly because of character and the lack of sort of being well prepared, he cut him, 1 week before the playoff game that would have decided whether they made it in the playoffs. And it was very key to the team, and I think it was very courageous on his part.
Absolutely.
So to me, it's a positive because of character. And not to mention Alex Smith, if you know anything, and I'm sure everybody at this point in the nation that follows football has heard about Alex Smith and how he broke his leg in a game in 2018 and had 18 to 19 surgeries to get back. They didn't think he was going to, keep the leg. A second point, they thought he was going to die.
Right.
And the doctor said he'll probably never play football. And for him to actually have gone through that whole process and actually play a game and make it to the playoffs, and is pretty amazing, his first games back, really.
Absolutely.
It's just unbelievable.
It's a great story for sure. Let's continue with that. But first, folks, you're listening to Faith in Sport. This is also a co-production of Radio Maria. Thank you for everybody listening on Carolina Catholic Radio, Radio Maria. We want to wish everybody a happy new year, and thank you for joining us on the show today. This is Faith in Sport, where we merge sport and virtue, and we're having our weekly, or just about every week, we have a conversation with Carlos Herrera, certified youth soccer coach and former youth director like I was. In fact, that's one of the reasons that Carlos and I kind of met back up. We were teammates in rugby for a couple years, and then we met back up through this circle of youth directors. And I was at a local parish, and Carlos was at his local parish, and we saw each other at a diocesan event. And I said, "You're Catholic?" And he looked at me and he goes, "You're Catholic?" And of course, with a name like Herrera and a name like Aquaviva, how could we be surprised that the other was Catholic? But anyway, that's the short of it. But we welcome you to the show. Thank you, folks, for doing that today. I just want to note that about 15 minutes from now, we're going to have a break. And then right after the break, though, we're going to have Jeff Ballister. He is the author of God Doesn't Play a Zone Defense. He was on the show actually a couple weeks ago, but he had so many good things to say. He's going to be back on for a second segment. But first, let's continue our conversation with Carlos Herrera. He's talking about his hit of the week, which is the Washington Redskins. And let's just go over that, Carlos. One reason that the Redskins are a hit is they made the playoffs for the first time in a few years with a win yesterday. The second one is you have a lot of respect for their coach, who is the former coach here. We're all familiar with him here on Carolina Catholic Radio because he's the former coach of the Carolina Panthers, and he is Ron Rivera. And also, Carlos, you probably would have got around to this, but of course, he is a faithful Catholic, our guy Herrera.
I was just going to look it up.
And then
Rivera Catholic.
Yeah, and the other person, the other reason is because of this seemingly high character quarterback they have. He's certainly been hurt a lot for the last couple of years, is Alex Smith. And I didn't realize this, Carlos, but in this special I saw the other day about Alex Smith on ESPN, and it was about this little timeline he went through when he had this gruesome leg injury, and it not only affected his possibility of coming back to play in the NFL, but they were worried, I think, over a couple nights whether he would even live because all these complications set in on the surgery and so forth. Anyway, I think a lot of people are, even if you don't like the Redskins, you're kind of rooting for him to do well. So I thought that was all good. And then you kind of tied it up with saying, and they got rid of this kind of hot dog, Dwayne Haskins, who was their 15th
pick in the first round just a couple years ago. And, boy, they had a lot of money tied up, but they still felt it was good to get rid of him, huh?
Yeah, I think his performance wasn't great. He had some sort of opportunities, but the biggest thing is it didn't seem, and what everybody's been saying kind of off to the side a little bit, is he wasn't preparing, and he didn't have the focus, and it was almost like he was acting like a kid who just got several million dollars, which is, in fact, what he did. He's only 23 years old, and, you know, he got, I think it was $14 million and an $8 million bonus, signing bonus, and $14 million over 3 years. So it's a lot of money. And,
oh, yeah.
He was kind of living the life of a professional player and not really doing what he needed to do to be a Redskins quarterback, a starting quarterback.
And I know, right, with Rivera there and all this, but do you honestly feel like this is the best direction the Washington football team is going in the last few years?
Absolutely, 100%.
That's
100%.
Really neat.
And it has to do with the coach and bringing in a coach and also the timing with this particular owner.
Yeah.
Not really understanding how football works, but he's basically handed the keys to Rivera to do both selecting players and cutting players.
That's
which
right.
Normally was handled by a general manager.
That's right.
And it's really his ethics, his character, his experience. I mean, you couldn't have a better – he's a Gibbs-type coach, and Gibbs is always referred to as a man of high character. And
that's
he
right.
also had a,
and he's
a
the
very
standard
high
too.
Faith.
Right, he's the standard.
He's
at which
very good.
All, yeah, not only do the Redskins, but I think a lot of people that know football – Joe Gibbs was kind of like the standard just in football in general with coaches, with his integrity, his faith, and so forth. And he just was greatly respected, and that's what you want out of him.
So. This is a similar character of Ron Rivera in terms of coaching, and some of his success hasn't been as large as Gibbs, but he's high up there and well-respected.
Very good.
With players and coaches.
Very good. Folks, if you're just joining us, I'm Dr. John Aquaviva. We're being joined, as we do just about every week, by Carlos Herrera. And we're talking about our hit or miss of the week here on Faith in Sport. And Carlos just gave us his hit. And mine, actually, is the opposite of that. It's a miss. And it has to do with something that probably a lot of people became familiar with. And it had to do with a brawl between two college football teams in a college football bowl game that was played late last week. It was the Armed Forces Bowl between Mississippi State and Tulsa, which is in Oklahoma. Neither team are considered powerhouses in Division I, but they both earned a bid, and they kind of embarrassed not only the bowl representatives, they not only embarrassed the schools, but I think they embarrassed college football and sport in general. There was a close game. It went back and forth between Mississippi State and Tulsa the entire game. Mississippi State pulled out the victory. I think the score was like 28-26. But as soon as the game was over, and there was a lot of tussling, a lot of unsportsmanlike conduct in the game. Some of it was called, some of it wasn't. But there was a major brawl between the two teams, and so many of the players from both teams got in it. And there was punching and kicking. And thankfully, I don't think anybody was really hurt because of all the equipment that was worn. Now, here's the couple questions to address. Is this stuff going to happen every once in a while? You know, geared up. You know, violent sport athletes like football players brawling or getting into a little tussle every once in a while. Yes. Is this stuff bad for the game and all of sport? Of course, yes. But the problem was, and Kirk Herbstreit, one of the voices of ESPN College Football, was at the kind of the lead in really lambasting Mississippi State coach Mike Leach, who said after the game, hey, it's football, it's physical, it's going to happen. And Kirk Herbstreit, along with a lot of other people, kind of they lambasted him for, you know, for being so kind of nonchalant on the whole thing. But the thing is that this action by college football players, it disappoints them. It even shocks them. When they see this, but if a coach dismisses it or even gently approves of it by saying things like, it's going to happen, it's just that's where the problem is. The problem doesn't lie in the brawl, the fact that people, you know, committed unsportsmanlike conduct during the game and after the game, but it was almost dismissed by the coach, and that was highly problematic. But what was interesting, Carlos, is in our pre-show chat, you mentioned that not everybody was down on Leach. Some of them were down on Kirk Herbstreit for being critical of Leach, weren't they?
Yeah, and I think it's interesting. I think it's more what he said. You know, he basically said, you know, and here I'll read a quote, and it's coming from ESPN, said, you know, this is Herbstreit saying this, you should be embarrassed talking about Mike, about your program and what it did. This is a black eye for the sport.
Yeah.
Maybe you don't care about the sport, dude. It's as bad as it could be watching that for people that are sitting around watching college football and that breaks out. It's another black eye for college football. And I think it's a little bit, I mean, I think to your point, I completely agree that Mike Leach kind of sort of a wink, wink. Yeah. It's kind of like saying boys will be boys, right?
Right.
You know, if they break windows or do what boys were sort of known to do when they didn't have much discipline or even parental guidance, right?
Right.
Like, he's sort of giving a kind of a nod to that. But I also think for Herbstreit to kind of say that this was such a black eye, I mean, it's football. I mean, and I think it's a little bit of maybe his perspective is one of a more of a pure sense of the game.
That's right.
Right, but it's not too different than the fights that happen in hockey, than the bench clearing brawls that happen in baseball. It's like it. I'm not saying it should happen, but it happens, right?
Yep.
And but the coach really lost my respect tremendously, and I think there should be something more to the coach for not coming down. But it seemed to me a little bit of, you know, again, I think Herbstreit had that kind of more clear and pure sense of what the game should be like. And as an announcer and former player, right?
Yeah.
But this happens. I mean, you and I are both. And I love the fact that you sort of brought up how we kind of got connected. But it really was sport and faith, right? Like,
right.
Faith and sport. Like, we played rugby. And in rugby, there was times where people would lose their cool and – you know, and it just happens when you're playing to win and you're intense and it's a sport where you're hitting each other and it's very intense. Not everybody plays fair, and it could be on purpose or accidental. So it's hard to. But I don't know that it's more the coach's fault for sure.
Yeah, no, we have to make the distinction. You make a good point. There's not really much of a difference between a huge brawl in hockey or you know, on the field fighting baseball. These things happen. But even if the coach or the manager in baseball, even if they in their hearts go, well, that guy had it coming, or the other team, yeah, right, they had it coming. It was the fact that the miss isn't that Mississippi State and Tulsa players engaged in this brawl. The miss was Mike Leach. And he does. He has this kind of you know, he has this reputation of not having the highest integrity personally. And I don't know him personally, but he just doesn't seem, in all he has said and all he has done, to be that integrity guy. In fact, just the opposite of what we were painting Ron Rivera, the coach of the Washington football team, to have. And here's the interesting thing is nobody has said this, Carlos, but I couldn't help thinking this. Is it quite possible, or isn't it quite possible, that one of the reasons he was so dismissive is look at the score. They won the game. And I'll bet $100 if you reverse that, if they would have lost by 2 points in a heartbreaker, my guess is his feelings and his comments toward the situation and the other team might not have been so flippant. Is there something to be said about that?
I think so. I think it also could have been heightened, the fact that Tulsa kind of got in sort of through the back door because another team, I think, because of COVID, wasn't going to play or couldn't play or had decided that they weren't going to play. And so Tulsa sort of got in sort of the back door, and their record wasn't anywhere, I think, as good as Mississippi State. And so there's probably a certain amount of looking down upon them, and I'm sure, you know, whoever started the talking, right, exacerbated it, because that's sort of what happened. So, I mean, there's a lot of places where this probably went wrong. But his response, I think, yeah, it's a lack of character. Maybe that's what Herbstreit knows about, you know, about Leach, and was kind of piling on him because of him being the coach and having a little bit of maybe history with kind of this allowing this sort of things to go on.
Yeah, I think so. I think that was the gig. You know, one thing I want to mention before we go that has to do with, this is my kind of like second miss of the week. And I wish we had more time because maybe we can even talk about it next week because college football will still be on the tip of everybody's tongue because the national game is going to be played next week. But once again, there was all these players that opted out. And maybe we can have that conversation next week to see if it – just to see where it lands with you and your heart. And not necessarily you're such a big college football fan, but maybe you just have insight from the standpoint of – just opting out on the last game of the year just always kind of surprises me. Why don't they opt out after the second game when their team's 0-2 or opt out after the fifth game when their team is 2-3? But instead, they all opt out in these bowl games. And it's interesting because that's when they get the most exposure. So I know I'm kind of putting a plate out there, and then I'm not allowing you to take any of the food off of it.
No, quite all right. I think it's worth talking about it. Because this, I think there's a lot of different components to it, of which COVID has one, and
yeah, it
and
does.
We know that there's other issues with COVID and sports affecting all the sports right now. So
that's right. So
there's a lot to talk about.
Yeah. So we'll probably forget about this part of the conversation and come up with new hit or misses next week. But certainly anybody could nudge me too. You guys could email me or tweet me, whatever. Carlos, you can nudge me and we can talk about that. But listen, brother, we've run out of time. As always, it goes really quick. Listen, buddy, Happy New Year. Thanks for coming on the show, and we'll talk soon, okay?
Lolita. Thanks for having me on. Have a Happy New Year to everybody and to your next guest, and we'll have a great show this coming year for everybody.
Appreciate that, buddy.
Being a part of it.
Yep, we'll talk to you soon then, on air and off. All right, there you go. That was Carlos Herrera, certified soccer coach, longtime friend of mine.
Lolitos!
Where'd you get that? I love that. Yeah, you're coming up with that. It's like a real radio show when you play that.
That's you.
That's right. That is me. Folks, listen, stay with us because just in a few minutes, our second guest of the day is author and longtime youth basketball coach, Jeff Ballister. He is the author of God Doesn't Play His Own Defense, a practical game plan for building a one-on-one relationship with God. He is Catholic through and through. He went to Division I Catholic College and played basketball there at Mount St. Mary's. And he's just terrific with quotes from his book and just reasons why he wrote the book. And I just think it's a terrific gift or a buy for yourself to read this. It's a quick read. It's a good read. And I suggest it to you or anybody that in your circle of friends or family that not only wants to get a deeper relationship with our Lord, but in particular, like sport, because he uses all the analogy of sport, and in particular, basketball, in which to do that. So stay with us, folks. He's going to be with us in a couple minutes. By the way, after Jeff's on, we're going to do the quick Q&A with Dr. A, and we have the craziest sports-related COVID story of the year. In fact, I don't mean just 2021, but of 2020. So stay tuned for that. But first, Chris, let's do the weekend headlines.
Spanning the globe to bring you the constant variety of sport, the thrill of victory, and the agony of defeat. The human drama of athletic competition.
It's time for Weekend Headlines with Dr. John Aquaviva on Faith and Sports.
You know, I wonder how many people tune in at 2:20 or at 25 after the hour, I should say, just to hear what's going on in the world of sport. I've heard people say, this is how I get caught up. What's going on in the world of sport is my show. But in particular, they're probably like, let's just catch them at 25 minutes after the hour and then shut it off at 2:30. But here's what's going on in the world of sport.
Who wants to hear Aquaviva talk for an hour?
That's why we have a break, folks, to give everybody a break from John Aquaviva's voice. NCAA men's basketball, Gonzaga, Catholic school, Gonzaga remains number one.
That's right.
And there are only three remaining undefeated teams in Division I, Gonzaga, Baylor, and guess who else?
The Wolfpack.
No, you're definitely wrong there. University of Michigan. They crushed Northwestern. Number 19 Northwestern. They crushed them by 20 points last night. Listen, what's
sorry, I was happy with the Wolfpack, though, with their win against Boston College. That was awesome.
They're having a good year so far, brother.
Yep, tomorrow night they play Clemson.
I noticed you didn't mention anything about NC State bowl game, though.
No, that was a heartbreaker right there.
Brutal. Yeah. In the NHL, folks, their 56-game schedule starts later next week. U.S. teams are good to go, but each province in Canada that holds a franchise must okay their local teams to have opposing players travel in and out of the area. In other words, yeah, they're not allowed to travel from province to province in Canada, but they're going to have to allow the people from Toronto, for instance, to come to Alberta and to go to Edmonton and so forth. So I think one of the provinces already okayed it. But because it's their national sport, I think they're going to okay it. Hockey is their national sport up there in Canada.
Yeah, that's right.
By the way, it's their winter sport. Their summer national sport is lacrosse. A lot of people don't know that. Major League Baseball, the San Diego Padres continue to add on to their already solid playoff team by adding pitchers Yu Darvish and Cy Young winner Blake Snell. So watch out for them when spring training hits and the season starts later this spring. The NFL, they just completed the season. The Kansas City Chiefs had the league's best record at 14-2, and the Jacksonville Jags were the worst at, Chris, do you know what their record was this year?
No, I don't know.
1-15.
Wow.
So they've solidified the number one draft pick.
Yeah.
So I think Trevor Lawrence is their guy.
I thought maybe it was going to be the Panthers, but no, it's going to be them.
No, the Panthers, I think, are maybe the fifth. They're going to get the fifth pick, something like that. Needless to say, the Chiefs are headed to the playoffs, and the Jags are not.
Yeah.
That was a simple deduction. Anyway, all the playoffs start this weekend, including your Washington football team.
That's right.
Plays against Tampa Bay. That's going to be a tough one, brother.
Yeah.
And save football. Lastly, we'll talk about the biggest bowl games took place over the past few days, including the semifinals, where Alabama beat Notre Dame and Ohio State shocked Clemson. Did you watch that game?
No, I didn't see it, but I heard about it, though.
Especially, Chris, in the second half, they just took it to him. Like, Clemson was like a Duke or something.
I
just picked on Duke there, but
heard it was a big upset.
Oh, man, not only big, they took it to him, brother.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, Bama and Ohio State will face each other next Monday, January 11th, for the title. So there you have it, folks. Sports headlines that may or may not change your life. Stay with us. Pretty soon we got Jeff Ballister coming on to talk about his book, God Doesn't Play Zone Defense, and a bunch of other stuff involving his experience as a youth basketball coach. We got the quick Q&A with Dr. A and the craziest sports-related COVID story this year. Stay with us, folks, here on Faith in Sport.
You are listening to Faith in Sport on the Carolina Catholic Radio Network, 1270 AM Charlotte. Also streaming at carolinacatholicradio.org and on the Carolina Catholic Radio app. We're also broadcasting across Radio Maria, so all of you stay tuned. We've got more Faith in Sport coming up. And remember, if you want more Faith in Sport, just check out carolinacatholicradio.org and check out the on-demand section for the Faith and Sport Archive. Back after the break with more Faith and Sport.
AM 1270 Catholic Radio Charlotte. Come join us and be a part of our 2020 vision to harvest souls for Christ in the vineyard of the Carolinas.
Hey guys, it's Jason Murphy again for the Catholic Men's Conference of the Carolinas. Hey guys, it's Jason Murphy again for the Catholic Men's Conference of the Carolinas. How are you holding up during these unprecedented times? First COVID-19, then quarantine, and now rising racial and political tensions that are dividing us. It would seem that all is falling and lost, but that is where our faith and trust in Christ kicks in. How are we nourishing our spiritual life during all of this? How will we handle this when things go back to normal? What will normal look like? What needs to get weeded out of our garden to ensure a healthy crop this summer? God knows, and we pray for the strength and wisdom to recognize these things when life begins again. How about you? We're looking for a few good men to step up and share how you're strengthening your faith in daily life, especially these days. Your responses will be used by Carolina Catholic Radio as part of a new weekly feature called the Carolina Catholic Men's Minute. Simply email your response to feedback@carolinacatholicradio.org and get on board. For the Catholic Men's Conference, this is Jason Murphy.
Hello, this is Steve Ray from CatholicConvert.com, and I'm really excited to invite you to join us for a virtual conference on the Bible for Catholics. We're going to have over 50 speakers. We have names already registered like Dr. Scott Hahn and Jeff Cavins, Dr. Peter Kreitz, and a whole bunch more. You won't believe the list. And our own Gail Buckley is going to be giving a talk on Bible study as well. It's going to be January 8th through 10th, 2021. I'm going to have links and everything set up on my webpage for you to see. It's a free conference. You can hear all of those speakers that you want for those 3 days. So again, the title of it is Take and Read. That's a phrase from Augustine. Take and Read, A Journey into the Bible. And we invite you to join us again. Thank you. This is Steve Ray, and I'm looking forward to having you join us on the conference.
Hello, Carolina Catholics. This is Dr. Gregory Popchak from EWTN's More to Life. Our faith is God's greatest gift to us and a priceless treasure. But faith doesn't spare us from the challenges of life. I know from over 20 years of practice that most families face one or more serious issues: addiction, anxiety, depression, marriage problems, divorce. If you're struggling with these or similar issues, there's hope. The Catholic counselors at my Pastoral Solutions Institute are here to help. Visit us today at CatholicCounselors.com or call 866-724-1196 and let your journey to healing begin. That's 866-724-1196 or visit us at CatholicCounselors.com. This is Dr. Greg Popchak with EWTN's More to Life here on the Carolina Catholic Radio Network.
The Carolina Catholic Video On Demand section is now available with over 40 video segments from our 12-hour virtual conference held on September 12th. You'll find it under the On Demand tab at CarolinaCatholicRadio.org.
And we are back with more Faith and Sport on the Carolina Catholic Radio Network, 1270 AM Charlotte. We're also streaming at CarolinaCatholicRadio.org and on the Carolina Catholic Radio app. We're also broadcasting across Radio Maria, so welcome back to all of our Radio Maria listeners. I'm Chris, the producer of the show, and once again, here he is, the incomparable, the one, the only, the host of Faith and Sport, Dr. John Aquaviva.
Welcome back to the show, folks. It's great to have you today here on Faith and Sport. This is where we apply our Catholic faith to all aspects of sport. So whether you are a coach, whether you are a player, whether you're an administrator, a grandparent or parent of a player, this is the show for you, because we like to merge sport and virtue. And by virtue, we mean we like to talk about ethics, character, and morality as they relate to what's going on in the world of sport. In particular, I try to talk about with like latest headlines and everything going on in the world of sport. Joining us in 1 minute is Jeff Ballester. He's a longtime youth basketball coach and author of the book, God Doesn't Play His Own Defense. The subtitle is A Practical Game Plan for Building a One-on-One Relationship with God. If the book sounds familiar, if Jeff Ballester's name sounds familiar, just know that he was our guest about 5 or 6 weeks ago. He's decided to join us for a second time. We just didn't have enough time to cover his book and all the stuff that he has to say about coaching, and in particular, the message of his book. He's going to come on and give us like part two of this. So I'm
That's
looking
right.
forward. I'm looking forward to that.
You could say we ended the year on Faith and Sport with him, and now we're going to kick off the year.
That's not a bad idea, brother. This guy's great. I like his energy. I love the message of his book. He's one of the good guys out there, and I love having him on again.
Yeah.
Also, toward the last part of our show, we're going to do two things. We're going to do the quick Q&A with Dr. A, and this is where, Chris, if you're unfamiliar with our show, at least one question per show Chris shoots at me. It has to do with sport, but not necessarily directly with sport. And he's going to shoot a question at me, and I'll try to answer it the best I can. And then we're going to conclude the show with the craziest sports-related COVID story. Now, Chris, you have to admit, you're wondering what that is.
Yes,
now,
anticipation.
Brother, now, before we bring Jeff on, I just have one question for you. You always say the incomparable. I don't even know what that means.
I just say it because it sounds good. Neither
I know
do
that's
I.
What everybody says, right? The incomparable Johnny Carson. The incomparable Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yeah.
Why did I bring up Arnold Schwarzenegger right there? I have no idea. Hey, let's bring Jeff on right now. He is Jeff Ballester, longtime youth basketball coach and the author of the book, God Doesn't Play His Own Defense. Jeff, welcome back to the show, buddy.
Hey, John. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, same to you, buddy. Happy New Year. Listen. Let's get right into the book. I think, I didn't even go into the archives, but even if we talked about this, I knew I had it on my mind when we were talking to you the first time, but even still, tell us again, what motivated you to write this book? Because there's a lot of people that kind of have a message, right? Like, you developed it through your faith combined with your love of sport and so forth, but this book, God Doesn't Play His Own Defense, Just start off the conversation by telling us what motivated you to actually put pen to paper.
Yeah, no, it's actually an exciting story. It gives me chills to talk about it. So the actual motivation comes directly with, I'd call, divine intervention, which was, I was reading scripture one night and got hit with the title, God Doesn't Play His Own Defense, Write It. Then I sloughed that off, and then 5 minutes later, you know, it hit me again, and I knew I had to write it. And the main motivation when I started thinking about it was around, how do I bring one person, so literally that simple, how do I bring one person closer or even more closer to Lord than they are today?
Yeah.
And I knew as a 13-year-old, a 15-year-old, an 18-year-old, I loved the scripture. I tried to understand it. And there were certain things I'm like, if someone could translate this into a language that I speak, which is athletics, sports, this could really reach a lot of people. So
oh, yeah.
Basically what I did is translate all of the teachings in the Bible, specifically Wisdom of Sirach and Psalms and all those little tidbits on how we should live life, and use them with sports analogies to really bring a reader that might not be as strong or diligent with their faith to say, oh my goodness, this really is talking to me and it can impact them. So to date, we've given away about 50,000 copies.
That's awesome.
And, you know, we're trying to continue to do that. And you guys are one of that mechanism that's helping do that. So anything we can do for the listeners to get books in their hands and spread the word is what we're trying to do.
Absolutely. And this is a good time to say, Jeff, your book, and you were gracious enough, you and your family, to sponsor Faith in Sport radio show. Up on our website now, on our webpage for Faith in Sport, if you go into programming, you'll see Faith in Sport with Dr. John Acquaviva. And there's a little video of you talking about the book. There's an icon of the book, and it has a link for you to get find out more about the book and how to purchase the book. And, brother, we can't be more appreciative of that. And we want to help you get the word out on this, because I've written a couple books myself, and one of the things I know is just how difficult it is, at least for most people. It may be because you're so directly, you know, inspired by the Holy Spirit to do this, but it was tough for me to put pen to paper and finish those two books. But I just know one thing, everybody can't do that. And in particular, you did the faithful a service, because it's one of the reasons why St. Paul uses the analogy of sport. He knew that would bring in the faithful. And you extended that analogy between sport and in particular basketball. And I think you've done a great service. So thank you for being the sponsor, and thank you for, thank you for completing this book and offering it to so many people. I'm really impressed by that, Jeff. You want to give away 1 million copies and you're already 50,000 there. I think that's tremendous, and congratulations.
Thank you. I think the coaches out there, youth coaches or high school or college coaches, I think a lot of them realize, or if they don't, you know, the three most powerful words in that in a sports household
but
coach says. So you can't, you know, just like Jesus couldn't preach in his own town, sometimes us as parents, we want to get all of our beliefs, all our thoughts, and how important they are to our children, and are they getting the right stuff? And if you can have a coach that also has same beliefs as you, it's just a blessing, because it reinforces what you're trying to do in the home, because sometimes they listen to the coach more than the parent.
Oh, yeah, especially.
So this book can help a lot of coaches weave in, you know, spirituality into the life lessons that we all love that our children get from sports. Why not? Let's weave in the spirituality as part of it.
Absolutely. Folks, you're listening to Faith in Sport. I'm Dr. John Acquaviva. Our guest today in the second half of the show is Jeff Ballister, the author of the book, God Doesn't Play His Own Defense. Now, Jeff, I'm going to take you down a path that was different than what we talked about in our prep last night for the show, but it's a softball question, but it has to directly to do with what you're just talking about. You have a daughter. Tell the audience her first name. She's a senior in high school right now.
Yes. Monica.
Okay, so she's
Bishop O'Connell.
Awesome. Oh, she's at Bishop O'Connell. D.C. Yep. For the Archdiocese of Washington, D.C., one of the great Catholic schools there. And she's on the brink of a college career. And as you know, as you just said, in the parents' mind especially, like who they go play for, as far as wins and losses, everybody wants to go to a winner. Everybody wants to win every basketball game. Everybody wants to win every football game and so forth. But this is so interesting, isn't it? You being on the other side, right? Because you end up playing for somebody. You were literally blessed with the chance to play for one of the greatest college coaches, a faithful guy, Jim Phelan at Mount St. Mary's. How is that process with kind of guiding your daughter to not only a successful program, but a program where the coach and the coaching staff has integrity? Like, do you think you'll have a say there? Now, I'm hoping, of course, that she's not over your shoulder listening to this, but what say will you and your wife have here on where your daughter goes to school and who she plays for?
Well, first, that we will support whatever decision she makes, because she's an amazing young lady, and she values all the values we're talking about. So she would probably be, you know, God bless her, even more detail oriented around that, and wouldn't play for someone that she didn't find had extreme integrity, which awesome. I would agree with as well. So I mean, I would have input, but I really trust her input and judgment, as she's already been talking about, you know, that she wants to play for someone with similar values. And even, you know, one of the things that is tough, this is, we do have Catholic-based colleges out there, but some of them are trying to be less and less Catholic.
That's right.
You know, the Mount St. Mary's is actually going more and more Catholic, which is just wonderful and a blessing. It but is. She's actually looking for, at the heart of what the school is, you know, is Catholic and has a great program and great education. So it's neat to see how well-rounded she is. It's pretty, it's a heck of a reward as a parent, because it doesn't always turn out that way.
And you know, even though you went to a Catholic college, Mount St. Mary's, the three schools I got my degrees from, they were not Catholic, but one of the things that virtually every school offers is a Catholic community. And a lot of the schools in the Washington, D.C. area, some of them have really good, vibrant Catholic communities, even though they're a secular institution. And of course, her faith and her friendships could be nurtured there as well. But that's really neat that she is, in essence, she's taken the lead because you sense that she has a really good idea of what she wants. And what she wants is a high integrity program and doesn't necessarily have to win every game, but somebody that's going to nurture her faith and nurture her as a human being. I think that's awesome. And I'm going to ask our audience to pray for that she has wisdom in this process, because she's a pretty talented gal from what I understand, and she's probably going to get at least modest interest, and she could probably use the wisdom of the Holy Spirit as she moves along in that process. So I'll ask our audience to pray for her. Jeff,
yeah, thank you.
Yeah, I think that's worth mentioning. Let's talk a little about, before we, I'm going to come back to the book, but I want to talk a little practicality when it comes to basketball and your coaching and what you learned from Jim Phelan at Mount St. Mary's. What is something that he taught that you thought was so basic but important that translates to, say, not just your daughter as a high schooler, but anybody playing youth basketball? What was something that he taught you that is kind of universally good to practice as far as the actual game skill goes?
Yeah, no, that's a good question, and this is very, very basic. I mean, all the way down to what he helped me with. I thought I was a pretty good defender.
Sure.
But it was interesting analogy he used, and he said you want to play defense similar to a boxer, where when the player guarding gets the ball, you want to be the aggressor. You're not reacting to the move that the offensive player makes.
That's right.
You're jabbing, like using your left hand, matching the hands of which they're going to shoot with. So a right-handed shooter would match hands with your left hand as a defender. and you're using that left hand as a jab, and you're jabbing and making them uncomfortable so they can't just, you know, pull a three like Steph Curry, who had 62 last night because people weren't up close enough to him.
Yeah, three right on him.
And then when they go to drive by you, just like a boxer, how you would retreat to get out of the way of the big right hook, you push off that front foot and retreat back and, you know, shut off the path to the basket. So if you can picture, like, you're in a boxing stance, you're jabbing forward, bouncing back, always moving, never flat-footed. And I teach that today when I'm teaching fifth graders and sixth graders who, you know, unfortunately we see them all playing 3-2 zones and 1-3-1 zones, which is funny because it ties back to the book, right? God doesn't play zone defense. Like, when they get to fifth or sixth grade, you got to teach these kids how to play proper man-to-man, help side, see ball, see man, or they're going to be behind when they hit ninth grade, because in ninth grade, it switches back to a lot of the great good teams are all playing man-to-man. So that would be the tactical, like, really basic fundamental that Coach Phelan taught on defense. I used throughout my career at the Mount, and then also use in my teaching with youth sports to teach them how to play man properly.
I love the analogy. It's just, yet one more time, you use an analogy, and it's, analogies are great, and it just helps people understand it better. And I bet even our listeners out there who are not basketball people got the analogy of the boxing stance and the jab to help play defense, because you're just keeping that person on the honest, I guess you could say. Jeff, a little off topic from this, but I literally thought this as you mentioned Phelan and the basics, because I know John Wooden, the great John Wooden, UCLA Hall of Fame coach, was all about basics as well. And that's one of the reasons why he was so great. He just preached it, and he taught it, and he practiced it, and it applied to games. I don't know this, and I imagine a better talk show host of a sports show would know the answer to this, but I can't imagine that Phelan and Wooden were not friends, or at least liked and respect each other. Do you know anything about the relationship?
I don't know the I know they knew each other. I know Coach had spent time with Coach Wooden, because they were contemporaries of the same, around the same time. I don't know intimately their relationship, but he did tell that he knew Coach Wooden, you know, well.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like the way it is today. I mean, all the guys that I played with or against are either, you know, coaching or assistant coaches. So they're, you know, it's a small fraternity. Everybody kind of knows everybody.
Yeah, it'd be a shocker if they didn't know each other, and certainly didn't at least respect each other. Well, let's do this. As we both kind of anticipated, our time together went really quick. But I want you to end with something that's directly out of the book, and this will pull people not only into a good story, but into how well written and how interesting and even entertaining this book is. Tell the story, and I even welcome you to read directly from the book, on the what a philosophy professor, a story he told to his students.
Oh, yeah, sure. That's a good one. It's the story I use to introduce chapter 3, which is called Balance the Floor, which, if we've all been to a kid's soccer game and there's an amoeba of kids running around and a soccer ball pops out, you know, in second or third grade, they're not balancing the floor. In this, we're talking about, you know, how do you have balance in your life? And the story goes like this. A philosophy professor once stood before his class with some items in front of him. When the class began, he picked up a very large empty mayonnaise jar and proceeded to fill it with rocks approximately 2 inches in diameter. He asked the students if the jar was full, and they agreed it was. Next, he picked up a box of pebbles and poured them into the jar. The pebbles, of course, rolled into the open areas between the rocks. He then asked the students again if the jar was full. They agreed it was. So he picked up a box of sand and poured it into the jar. Of course, the sand filled up everything else. He again asked the students if the jar was full. They responded with a unanimous yes. The professor then produced a cup of coffee from under the table and proceeded to pour it into the entire contents into the jar, effectively filling the empty space between the sand. The students laughed. As the laughter subsided, the professor said, "Now, I want you to recognize that the jar represents your life. The rocks are the important things, your family, your spouse, your children, your faith, things that if everything else was lost and only they remained, your life would still be full. The pebbles are the other things that matter, like your job, your house, your car. The sand is everything else, the small stuff. If you put the sand in the jar first," he continued, "there's no room for the pebbles or the rocks. The same goes for your life. If you spend all your time and energy on unimportant things, you'll never have room for the things that are true importance and substance. Pay attention to the things that are critical to your happiness. Play with your children. Take time to get medical checkups. Take your partner out for dates and dancing. There'll always be time to work, clean the house, give a dinner party, fix the faucet. Take care of the rocks first, the things that matter. Set your priorities. The rest is just sand." At that point, one of the students raised her hand and asked what the cup of coffee represented. Smiling, the professor replied, "I'm glad you asked. It just goes to show, no matter how full or busy your life may seem, there's always room for a cup of coffee."
Jeff, you just sold about 20 copies just on that story alone, brother. They're like, if this guy fills these pages with stuff like that. Brother, listen, thank you for that. And I want to thank you for your service and commitment to our faith and ask our audience to pray for you, in addition to asking prayers for wisdom to be bestowed on your daughter as she goes through the recruiting process. But in particular, I want the audience to pray for you and the success of the message of this book. Brother, thank you very much for your support to Carolina Catholic Radio and Faith and Sport. And you have a good new year, and we'll talk soon, Jeff.
Thanks, John. Happy New Year.
Okay, buddy. See ya. Well, there you go, folks. Jeff Ballister. Listen, he quoted, that was directly from his book, "God Doesn't Play His Own Defense, A Practical Game Plan for Building a One-on-One Relationship with God." If you want to find out more in this book, go to GodDoesn'tPlayHisOwnDefense, alloneword.com, or you can check him out, a little video of him, and more about the book if you just go to CarolinaCatholicRadio.org. And if you go to the programming, you'll see a little thing on me. And then scroll down a little bit, and you'll see more on Jeff and how to get the book and so forth. By the way, by this time next week, we're going to do a giveaway with that book. So thank you to Jeff for sponsoring this show for the next couple months. Brother, listen, let's move on. We only got a couple minutes remaining, but I want to try to get to the quick Q&A with Dr. A and the craziest sports-related COVID story. What's the quick Q&A?
The quick Q&A, on a scale from 1 to 10, how excited is producer Chris on the Washington football team making the playoffs?
Ooh, I'd say about a 9.9, or maybe even just round it off to a 10. Would that be fair to say?
Yeah, let's just round it off to a 10.
The Washington football team, although not a stellar club, did finish above 500.
That's right.
And as Carlos mentioned, they're on a trajectory to go up. I think they made a good choice in hiring Ron Rivera.
Yes.
But they did win their division.
That's right.
And actually, Carlos was not correct. He said it's been years since they won their division. I think it's only been 5 or 6 years since they won it. But still,
that's right.
It was good for them to win it. The big, however, is they face Tom Brady and the Bucks this upcoming weekend.
One.
But they're at home, and anything can happen.
That's right. I'd like to see them go all the way to the Super Bowl, because they've not had a Super Bowl win since '92.
In a long time, brother. Yeah. I was a little kid. In fact, you know how long ago that was? I had hair. That's how long ago.
Wow. I can't even picture you with hair now.
Almost nobody can. So listen, folks, before we do our conclusion, I mentioned that we have the craziest sports-related COVID story. Listen to this. Over the past, like literally several months, there have been numerous Major League Baseball, college football, pro hockey games, every basketball games. They've either been canceled or postponed because of COVID, right? Listen to this. The University of California at San Diego was having a basketball game against Cal Baptist. It was the women's game, and the game was played for one half, right? 20 minutes of basketball. And it did not complete the game, because at halftime, it came to the attention of some of the administrators of one or both of the teams that every player on Cal Baptist's team did not receive the mandatory 2 PCR tests, which they do the little nasal swab, and they have to have 2 of those tests. And so at halftime of this game, in which I think Cal San Diego was winning, they canceled the game. And by the way, because it didn't go
it didn't reach 30 minutes total. It has to reach 30 minutes total, which they need another 10 minutes. It was unofficial. But here's the shame of that. These guys traveled all this way. They prepared for all this time. Yeah. They didn't let them finish that game.
Wow.
And everybody had at least one test, and they're all negative. Oh, my goodness. Man. What's going to happen next, brother? Anyway, that's my craziest COVID-related, sports-related COVID story of the week.
And that is crazy.
A team, two teams getting together, and then them playing only till halftime.
Yeah.
Listen, folks, as usual, I like to end with a quote by John Paul II, in which this is one of the great quotes about sport, in which he said, "Give thanks to God for the gift of sport, in which the human person exercises his body, intellect, and will, recognizing these abilities as so many gifts of his creator." Again, that's from John Paul II. Before we go, special thanks to first half our guest, Carlos Herrera, and then we just got off the phone with Jeff Ballister. Thank you for joining me, you guys, for on the show today. I'm Dr. John Aquaviva. Please join us next time here on Carolina Catholic Radio and Radio Maria for more Faith in Sport.
We want to thank you for tuning in to Faith in Sport today, the first show of 2021, and we want to invite you to tune in again next week for a brand new edition of Faith in Sport right here on Carolina Catholic Radio Charlotte, 1270 AM, also streaming at carolinacatholicradio.org and on the Carolina Catholic Radio app. We also want to thank all of our Radio Maria listeners tuning in each week on Radio Maria to Faith in Sport. Make sure you tune in again next week for an all-new edition of Faith in Sport. And if you want more Faith in Sport in the meantime, check out CarolinaCatholicRadio.org on demand.
Catch the spirit. Learn, love, and live your faith. AM 1270, Catholic Radio, WCGC, Belmont, where Charlotte grows in Christ. Flagship station of the Carolina Catholic Radio Network.